Or I have to question, is having three martinis too much? Well, if you ask the question, that means it's probably too much.
It is episode 23 of Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. Here we are once again. I hope everybody's doing all right. I'm doing really, really good. I'm in a good place, whatever that means. That's just a phrase that came to mind. I feel good. That's bad for joke writing for me. I tend to write more when I'm irritated about something. Got to find that middle ground where I'm not in a bad mood, not in a great mood, but I'm okay, but things bother me. I think that's where I don't have to try to do that. Things will at some point irritate me. I do enjoy being annoyed. People think I'm unhappy. I'm not unhappy. I enjoy being annoyed by things. Whether it be, I was annoyed the other day because I ran errands and I had to go on campus because the UT campus, because there's a vape shop there that sells. I had to buy a new vape because that's where I'm at, and I notice. It's there's a very good representation of mindset, the difference in the mindset of a college kid and regular people. And you can tell just by watching them cross the street at a crosswalk. So like everywhere else in Austin, people wait, they look, I mean, regular people, there are psychos and people that are just clueless that will just wander out. But for the most part, people kind of look and they go, all right, now I can cross. And they cross in a hurry. No, man, college kids just walk in the middle of track. They're just like, they didn't even look. They're like, no, I get the right of way at all times because the world revolves around me. Like they cross the street knowing that the world revolves around them, like just without question. And I mean it, you know, and I remember that. I remember being 20. She's just like, yeah, this is all about me. I mean, and we're still like that, but a little bit more subdued. They're just trying it out. They're like, I don't live at home anymore. I've discovered drugs, like, it's cool. Yeah. I took an intro to philosophy class, and suddenly I know things. So they walk like they do. But yeah. I had good holidays. I hope you had a good holiday. I think I mentioned it on the last week that I was going to, with my mother, to my grandmother's. So we went on Wednesday, right after I posted the podcast, and so we stayed there the night before, just the three of us, and played games. So I played games with my grandmother and my mom. Like, and turns out I'm pretty good at Boggle. And there's this dice game called Farkle. That's a real game. And a board game that involves like chips and cards called Sequence. I did some old people shit, and I'm really good at it. I don't know what it is. I just welcome the... Maybe I'm just looking forward to being old? I don't know. I'm just already, you know, not so much the aging, but just that I'm slowing down now. I like jazz music, and I do. I like jazz. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I'm embracing all the old people shit that I wouldn't have given a second look 5 years ago. 6 years ago, but I'm enjoying it. So yeah, I'm good at Boggle. Incidentally, I'm going to rush this podcast and post it. I'm not going to rush the recording. It's, you can't rush time. But yeah, I've got to meet a friend here in about an hour to play chess. So that's my fast lifestyle. That's what I'm into. But yeah, man, I don't mind getting older. Like sometimes I've thought about what I'm gonna do. Like it's encouraging to watch heroes of mine, like you know, comedian heroes like Dave Attell, who their new Netflix special, him and Jeff Ross, called Bumping Mics, is on Netflix. It's like a three episode series of them doing shows at the Comedy Cellar in New York, and they just give each other shit on stage. I highly recommend it if you like kind of roast type stuff where they're just fucking with each other, and they have guests like Michelle Wolf and Bob Saget come up and stuff like that. It's really, really good. But it's encouraging to see when I see older comics who are older than me who are still doing it, and it's encouraging to me to know, because you think about it at times, you're like, well, at what point am I going to stop doing comedy? And I figure it'll stop when people get tired of my shit. Like as long as I can keep, I'm just going to keep going because this is what I like. And I'm sure at some point they're going to, you know, people are like, nah, I'm not going to book you anymore or whatever, but there are people who are going to stop listening. But I don't know, man. I'm going to keep going. I think people like to, you know, because think about like some comedy clubs, just think about the audiences, you know, the audience age range. It's like 30s, 40s, 50s, like the paying audiences. And yet you have younger comics. That's got to be irritating. If I didn't do comedy and I was like in my 50s and I went to a comedy club and I had to listen to somebody in their 20s tell me their perspective, it might kind of bother me. And that is because I'm fighting an ageist mentality that it's just there. But at some point, it's like, let me hear somebody old talk. I don't know. It's you like what you like. And you can tell, by the way, you can tell what kind of that I definitely like a certain. I have a very specific taste when it comes to like podcasts. And you can tell by the style of this podcast. It's just me talking for 30 minutes. And thank you for listening, by the way, if you enjoy it. But I like a specific, like I like Bill Burr's podcast. I like listening to Mark Maron's podcast, but not the interview. I listen to like the beginning, which a friend of mine goes, really? That's what you, so you listen to the part that people skip over to get to the interview? Yeah, that's what I do. And I just discovered, because there was this viral video that Michael Rapaport did. If you haven't seen it, but it's basically him talking about a fucking cat. Like it's like a 1 minute long video. Look up Michael Rapaport cat. Do that search. But I started following his podcast. That thing's great because Michael Rapaport's a crazy person. And it's great. And he's just like, oh, you hit the fuck it. Yeah, like it's excellent. It's called the I Am Rapaport Stereo Podcast. That's great. He like really promotes the fact that it's a stereo podcast. Like that's the reason that people come. It's like, you know what? I do like to hear things in both speakers and in both my earphones. Like, you know, I like a surround sound with my podcast. Yeah, no, Mike, I think people are just coming because you're insane and you rant. Him too. He has guests, you know, different rappers and or the somebody from the Real Housewives of Atlanta he had on there. I don't for him as well. Like, I just listened to the first like 20, 30 minutes before he has his first. As soon as he has his first guest on, I'm like, all right, good podcast, Michael. And then I cut it off. But highly recommended. Here are things that John recommends. Here's another thing I recommend, because we, my girlfriend and I decorated her tree a couple of days ago, and which is a nice sign of a healthy relationship. I think you decorate a tree, you know, it's cool. And we didn't have to, but we put on Christmas music, and I don't like Christmas music, but we put on the Vince Guaraldi Trio. It's a Charlie Brown Christmas album. Yeah, that, if you don't like Christmas music, put that on. That's awesome. The nostalgia, and it's a three-piece, you know, upright bass piano. It's excellent. That's what I would recommend doing. But yeah, so those are my recommendations. Oh man. So just to give you a little bit behind the scenes of the this podcast, I tend to pause and save on my Chromebook when I record about every 10 to 15 minutes. So anywhere from 2 to 3 times during a podcast, I do that. I just did that. You can probably hear like the little break or whatever. But I just lost... my browser crashed for a second. I just lost like 15 minutes worth of me rambling, which is probably good. So I'm going to do it again. Ugh. Man. I just talked to nobody. Sorry, the cat. The cat hurt. Nope, she's asleep. I talked to nobody for 15 minutes and it didn't save, and that sucks. So, all right. Well, maybe I'll talk about something else. Yeah. I figured out something I'm doing. I'm using video games as an unwinding stress reliever now. This is my substitution. Some people, when they get sober and they quit drinking, they jog, they run, and I don't run unless I'm chased. That's the old saying goes. But I've discovered that's what I've been using, because I realized it last week, because I felt like, I think it was like Saturday or Sunday, I got that itch that we get, and where I needed, I felt like, man, I could really use something. You know, good whiskey or some kind of painkiller. I really could use something to take the edge off. Cigarettes, even. Vaping's fine. It is fine. But, I just hit that vape. But turns out I use Xbox, because I did. I came home and got killed online by probably someone who was 16. And it would, you know what? And it felt good. It helped me unwind. And that's, I realized that's one of my substitutions is, because you gotta have something. You gotta, you know, they say get hobbies, but you gotta have something that makes you relax. And of course, the biggest thing for me has always been the mindset that I just accepted the fact that this is who I am now. I know that there's other different type of exercises you can do, and you know, you play the tape out and remember what you're like when you used to, you know, drink and stuff. But for me, it's been more of a, this is it, just not even questioning that this is who I am now. So you just accept it and you go. And so, like, to the point where I forget that people, that alcohol makes you drunk. Like, when I'm around comedians or whatever at a show, or I'm out doing something, and I'm there for too long, sometimes somebody will act odd, and I'm like, what is his problem? Oh, he's been drinking. That's right. Booze makes you drunk when you drink it. Like, I forget. You just been not doing it for so long. I forget, you know, I forget that alcohol makes you drunk and weed makes you high. I forget that people are acting strange because they did a thing to themselves. And I just I forget, oh yeah, that's what happens. You gotta have some kind of you gotta have something that really relaxes you. You gotta find your thing that keeps you going. That's what you gotta do. I knew that around the 15-minute mark today that I would run out of shit to say. Like, if I was just gonna talk about how things were going, I'd probably get about 15 minutes. And sure enough, we're at about 16 minutes. Is that right? 16? 16. Yeah. 16 and a half. Anyway, so I knew that I would look at articles. So I looked at articles to see if there was something I wanted to talk about. And I'm not going to read any of the articles. They all sucked. There was one from a newspaper called The Republican in Red Wing. And I didn't even see what state it was in. I was that disinterested because it was the whole idea of the editorial was that pain is a good thing, everybody. Don't take those drugs. Stay away from opiates because pain is good. It allows your body to, the coping mechanisms in your body to kick in. Just kick in and, you know, stick with it. And it's just like, I get there is something to that, but not that it's, you know, pain is good. Fight through it with your back. That didn't make any sense. So I also read, though, that yet another article about how meth is on the rise. This is in Boston. And they're talking about how, you know, people scared of fentanyl. So they moved, and meth is cheaper because of the focus. It's interesting. Maybe it's because of the focus on opiates has been so great that, you know, it's harder, you know, it's harder to get. Price goes up. Meth is cheaper. People go to meth, and the circle of life, quote unquote. But yeah, that seems to be an issue. And the thing about meth being that, you know, it's an issue, but people don't OD on meth right away. Like, it doesn't kill you in an overdose situation. What it does is it just destroys you over time. So we're probably going to see, we're going to have a meth crisis officially. You'll see that in the next year or two. It's a delay, but it's definitely coming. The thing about it is that I started noticing that, and this is because of a really fucked up dumb thing about me and heroin, is I don't do it as much anymore, but I still think it. It's like you have that asshole friend that you like to defend. Even though you know he's an asshole, you're like, yeah, yeah, I know. But he's, you know, he's my friend. Like, it's that same kind of thing with heroin. Anytime somebody OD'd and they're like, oh, heroin killed him. And then, I got to come in and go, no. Speedball killed him. That's heroin and coke. Don't let coke get off easy. Cocaine is expensive and it's shitty. I don't understand why you're giving him a free pass. Don't put this all on heroin. I would do that a lot. And And in my head, I still do that. Anytime that I've seen, and if you go back and you look at any of the overdoses of famous people, or just anybody that makes the news, so I guess it'd be famous people, huh? When they do an autopsy, what do they have in their system? They don't just have one drug in their system. It's not just fentanyl. It's not just heroin. You know, benzos are in there. Methamphetamine's in there. Cocaine. And the thing about it is that we don't have an opioid crisis. We have a drug crisis. It's like multiple drugs. It's just something to keep in mind that it's not, don't think that you're cool. Yeah, I mean, you're cool. You're cool, everybody. Everybody's really, really cool. No, don't think that you're fine just because you're staying away from one specific boogeyman. If you're doing a combo of stuff, that's some risky ass shit. So you guys be careful, is what I'm trying to say. Just, you know, because it's not it's such a complicated, like everything else, it's fucking complicated. We have a drug problem because people need to escape because they're unhappy because of the world, because they're too immersed. They're keeping themselves too informed and they're immersed in shit online, even though in the real world, when they're out day to day, everybody's fine. I mean, they've got personal problems and you deal with things that you're dealing with, but like the weight, taking the weight of the world on your shoulders out in the real world because you've been looking at it online. It's weird. You don't want to, you know, put yourself in a cave and not, you know, ignore everything, but at the same time, you got to find that balance. You got to keep yourself informed, do your social media bullshit, but don't let it fucking poison you. How do you do that? I don't know, but as soon as I find out how to do that, I will let you know. I just try not to let it, you know, I try not to get weighed down by it. I don't know, I try to enjoy the moment. But yeah, we're going to have a drug problem. As long as people are unhappy, and people are unhappy because they're human. We just could use easier ways to get help. That would be AA can't be the only free choice to get assistance. There's got to be options. So, enough of that. Now, should we end it on a downer? Yeah. Good luck, everybody. Go out there. We're all going to die. Oh, cancer's coming, everyone. Oh, sorry about that. It's a beautiful day today. Let's focus on that at the very last part of this podcast. Is that, you know, it's nice outside. There's a lot of things to do out there. There are people that love you. I don't, but there are people that do. Make sure you love yourself. I know I like me. I'm okay. You know what? That's it. Yeah. We're going to end on I like me. You should like yourself. People like you. I probably don't, but who the fuck am I? Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week. This has been Yes, I'm Still Sober. I'm John Rabin. Bye.